This clip is an extract from an oral history recording made in October 2020 with Ian Clark, John Watt, Chas Ball and Tor Justad, discussing the development of the Association of Community Enterprise in the Highlands and Islands, known as ACE High. After the HIDB withdrew direct funding in 1983, ACE High supported the development of community enterprise in the Highlands and Islands. The discussion captures the interchange of people and ideas that sustained community enterprise in the late 1980s and into the 1990s. As the two distinct movements, community co-ops in the Highlands and Islands and community business in the Lowlands, shared knowledge and know-how under the banner of community enterprise. The discussion of how ACE High used the latest technology to provide training across the Highlands and Islands electronically in the 1980s and 90s was a timely reminder of the issue of keeping people connected in remote and rural areas, and the expertise developed to overcome these challenges in the Highlands and Islands long before the lockdown of 2020 that was foremost in our minds at the time of recording. You hear first from Ian Clark, who had worked as a youth community development worker in London before moving to the Highlands in 1981 and establishing the Fyrish Trust in 1982. Ian became the first development worker employed at ACE High in 1985. The other voices you'll hear in this clip are myself, John Watt and Tor Justad. John was an HIDB co-op field officer for the Highland Mainland and Argyll, continuing to work at the HIDB through the transition to HIE in 1991, he held various posts, including Senior Economist, Head of the Community Land Unit, and finally as Director of Strengthening Communities. Tor Justad worked as an area community worker for Shetland Islands Council between 1978 and 1987, supporting voluntary organisations, cooperatives, and social enterprise in the North Mainland of Shetland. He was the first chair of the Association of Community Enterprise in Highlands and Islands from 1986 to 1987. Enjoy the clip and thanks for listening.
I moved up to the Highlands in 1981, having visited here several times. I had close friends and I decided to move up here in 82 because I was interested in the sort of the nature of some of the communities I had, you know, become involved in on my previous visits, mainly around music and so forth. And for the previous 10 years, I had actually been a professional youth and community worker, both in the statutory and also in the voluntary sectors. So I came up to the Highlands with that sort of background, interested in the idea of doing something in the community basically led to the establishment of an organisation called the Fyrish Trust, based in Evanton. And we subsequently found out this was the first community business in the Highlands and Islands. I wasn't even aware of the community cooperative movement. I had no idea until John and Roy walked into my office in Evanton one day and introduced themselves. I thought they were from the Her Majesty's Revenue and Customs. I was slightly thrown by that, but anyway,
we had nice ties in those days.
Yes, we didn't wear ties, so that's why we felt somewhat intimidated by men walking in with ties. But anyway, yes, so basically they came in and said, look, did you know that there is this movement to do with community cooperatives around the Highlands and Islands? And of course my interest was immediately stimulated by that. But also I remember John saying, I think what you're doing here is a community business and they've already been set up in the Central Belt and you need to speak to a chap called John Pierce. And then within a month or so, John came up to Evanton to meet with me, was obviously very interested in what we were doing. Mainly we were involved in the very early youth training schemes here in the Highlands. In fact, we were the first, I believe, voluntary organisation, and we were using the profits generated from that to basically, if you like, help fund the charitable activities, which were around music and the arts and such like. And I'd been involved in the very first MSC scheme ever set up in London several years prior to that, the old Youth Opportunities Programme. So having met John and Roy, basically, I started to get more interested in what was going on. And then they came back and basically said, look, there's this thing called Ace High. Now, I honestly can't remember whether Ace High had been established just prior to John and Roy's coming to speak to me. It might well have been, but there was nothing there except probably a constitution and a committee, because I think vaguely I remember being interviewed by a group of people. I think Tor was one of them for sure. And then as a result of that, I was taken on and I set up the first office, got in a, you know, a part-time administrator and really, you know, got the ball rolling, got to know some of the other people in the HIDB's office in Inverness, like Bob Story, and I'm not sure whether Callum Davison was working at that time. I think it probably was a little bit later on. So really I was involved with setting up the first community business in the Highlands from 82 to I think 85. And at that point, I then started working with Ace High and looking at ways of providing support and training to all the community economic development organisations that were around, principally the community co-ops.
Brilliant, thank you. That's what a fascinating career. I'll really have to ask you more about that sometime.
Just mention, Jill, that was the very first time I think I'd ever seen a laptop, was when Ian appeared with a laptop at the bar, I think it was, that we were meeting in at the time. So it shows how technology has moved on since then. Sorry, I just had to mention that.
And it was the Toshiba. I can still remember it.
I think from Gillian's point of view, it is quite interesting in the story of Ace High was the use of computer communications to link up remote communities.
Yeah.
And we were certainly one of the pioneering organisations in the UK. Thanks to John Bryden basically twisting my arm and saying, if you don't get on board with this, we're going to get left behind in the Highlands. And not realising, of course, that we were so far ahead of anybody else in terms of using computer communication. This was before the internet days, and John at the Arkansas Trust had brought in a thing called Ruhrtel from Canada.
This was Ruhrtel. Yeah,
right, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So, but it was a key part, I think, of some of the developments that took place, because as a result of that, we basically engaged a company which involved Peter Peacock at the time. Mm. In developing training materials for community enterprises across the Highlands and Islands. And some of that training was actually delivered by computer communications. Mm. Each one of the committee members in Ace High, and there was one from each of the regions, were given a very, very ancient Amstrad laptop with one of those old modems that you had to set the pulse tone, the dial tone, and boy, how we managed to actually get it to work, I have no idea. But it did. It was kind of revolutionary at the time.
Yeah.
That's brilliant. That's really interesting to know. And so I'm just thinking, what's the most useful thing to go back to here? Maybe before we go into the kind of running of Ace High, because if I'm right, Ace High was originally funded by the HIDB, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. Could we maybe just go back one step? Tor, was Ian right in thinking you were one of the people that interviewed him for
Indeed, I was elected for my sins as the first chair of Ace High. We then had our founding meeting in Staffin on Skye, where we were given a personal check by Glenn Buchanan, who was the secretary or chair of Community Business Scotland and Community Business Strathclyde Community Business. And that was our starting funding, was the £100 personal check, which I hope he got refunded eventually. But it was his personal money that started Ace High. And so then, as Ian said, we did have a committee which was representative of all the areas where there were community co-ops at the time. And we gradually put together a constitution, and we were then we then received funding to recruit our first development officer, who was Ian. So I do hold myself responsible for recruiting Ian into the family of community co-ops, which we were delighted about, because he knew a lot more about, certainly about technology at that stage than any of us did. And all his background experience was really useful to us at the time.